Hi, it's Dr. Fred Bell, Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Welcome, March 3rd, 2007. Tonight's guest is Dr. Stuart Garber, and he's a well-known homeopath, and I'm going to let him, and that's also my background too, besides being a crazy rocket scientist before that, so I'm going to bring him on here in a second. I want to just thank my audience for making this the number one show in the world on the internet. And with that, I'd like to bring on Dr. Stuart Garber. How are you doing out there?
I'm doing great. How are you, Fred?
Oh, good. Could you, you know, the audience, you're new to the audience, and we've only had this your first time on the show, so could you explain to them a little bit about your background? They know you're a homeopath because you've been up on the website for a few weeks, and could you explain to them about your background, how you got into this, and those kinds of things?
Sure. Well, let's see, my initial training was as a chiropractor, and
right. But
my practice was always pretty much of a holistic medicine practice, incorporating not just the structural work, but herbal medicine and nutrition and homeopathy. Over time, I started to do a lot of lecturing. One of my specialties in the structural work was in craniopathy, working with the bones of the skull. And I was doing a lot of lecturing around the world, mostly in Europe, and found myself lecturing to mostly homeopaths of all stripes, homeopaths who were medical doctors, chiropractors, acupuncturists, lay homeopaths. And just in my relationship with them, my practice sort of drifted still to a holistic medicine practice, but now with the emphasis more on homeopathy, but still doing all the other work itself. And in the around mid-90s, I found myself in a position to become the first person in the United States to receive a bona fide PhD, state-approved PhD, in homeopathy, and that's how it got me where I am now.
Well, that's really good. So now, where are you located? You're up in L.A. there somewhere, right?
I'm in Santa Monica.
Los Angeles area?
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, yeah. And what kind of a practice do you have now?
Well, my practice right now, as I said, it's still a holistic medicine practice, but with the emphasis on classical homeopathy. And,
How would you define, you know, I guess back when Samuel Hahnemann started homeopathic medicine and split away from allopathic medicine, along with Louis Pasteur's, discoveries in pasteurization, which then sterilized, to me, they started sterilizing all the food, which took all the life force out of it. So, to me, that was when homeopathic medicine was important because there's a little life force in it, like cures like.
Right.
So you've been doing it a while, obviously.
Right. I've been in practice for 26 years now.
Yeah, and I also noticed you make quite a bit of your formulas. So the first thing go ahead, explain some of your formulas. Now, they're awesome. We've had your website up there, drgarbers.com.
Right.
And I've been over there. You've got some amazing formulas. Could you explain
some of
that for us?
I think so, too. You know, you brought up the question about, I used the term classical homeopathy, and you asked me to comment on that, and I will, because it's one of those interesting things that if you ask 100 homeopaths who call themselves classical homeopaths to describe how they practice, you're going to get 100 different answers.
Exactly, answers.
And, so maybe classical is not quite the right term. Constitutional homeopathy is one where you evaluate a patient on every level, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and you're trying to come up with what we call the totality of symptoms and prescribe a specific homeopathic remedy that best fits that totality. And yes, I certainly do that with every patient that comes to see me, but that doesn't mean that's exclusive of anything else that you might be able to do to help that patient. And I think that's where some of the people who call themselves classical homeopaths sort of set themselves up aside and say, oh, well, anything else besides the single remedy is not homeopathy, but I don't happen to agree with that, which brings us to the...
I agree with you, by the way.
Well, good. I'm glad you do.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So there are many different kinds of remedies made from all different sources, and there's one class of homeopathic remedies that we collectively call the biotherapies. And the biotherapies consist of gemotherapy, which is not made from gems, but made from plant buds and the young growth parts of plants, the buds, the shoots, the rootlets. Then lithotherapy.
That's about the genesis of the life force of the plant.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
Why we use parts of the plants, because that's where all the potential is. That's where the energy is. That's where the growth is. And lithotherapy is our homeopathic preparations of mineral-containing rock, as opposed to just homeopathic preparations of specific minerals. So you get the synergy of all the minerals that are found naturally occurring in a particular rock. And
so you're almost looking at the DNA of the rock.
Exactly. That's how
yeah.
I like to describe it as well.
Yeah.
And then the third biotherapy is organotherapy, which are homeopathic preparations of healthy tissue. In other words, organ tissues, otherwise called
living
sarcodes.
Tissue. Yeah.
And so I had been using these biotherapies individually in my practice, along with all the other remedies that are available to us. And I had been toying with the idea of putting them together in some way, but hadn't gotten to that yet. One day, a patient of mine called. She's probably one of my oldest and dearest patients, and a kind of cantankerous woman who doesn't really care for the medical profession very much, and also doesn't really like taking drugs as little as she can. And she said to me, what can you do to help me get off Synthroid? And for anybody listening who doesn't know what Synthroid is, it's probably the most widely used synthetic thyroid hormone. And I said, well, let me see. You've been on that for, 25 years now? I said, there's nothing I can do, because the conventional medical wisdom is that once you've been on a replacement hormone like that for any length of time, it eventually
shuts down. Does she have a thyroid removal?
She didn't have a thyroid removal, but she had it irradiated back in the
okay. So she had cancer.
Early time, and I said, "There's nothing we can do." And she said to me, "Well, I already took myself off it," which was just like her. And she said,
yeah.
"I feel much better since I stopped taking it, but I know that being off of it is going to get me into trouble. So what are you going to do about it?" So I said, "Well." Let's see. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I said, I'll try to put something together for you, but we're going to monitor you very closely, see what we can come up with, and if it's not working, you're going to go back on the Synthroid. Not that I'm a big fan of it, but at this point I thought there was not much more that could be done. So I put together a combination of these three different biotherapies that I had been thinking about already, and I got a little effect, but not much. Tweaked the formula again, monitored her blood levels again, got a little bit more.
What were you monitoring on her blood levels?
Oh,
with what specific element were you looking at?
We were looking at thyroid stimulating hormone and the free versions of the thyroid hormones, free T4 and free T3.
Okay, thanks. The reason I'm asking is because I got a patient for you coming up. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course, as soon as she, you know, we took some blood as soon as she stopped the Synthroid, and of course her thyroid stimulating hormone went through the roof, and the other levels of thyroid hormone just fell down to the floor.
Yeah.
So, well, after about the third reformulation, tweaking this formula, all of a sudden her TSH came down, her free T4 and free T3 came up, and kept her on this formula for about 6 months, and everything normalized, which I was pretty shocked about, and didn't think that that
would... What do you call this formula?
Well,
this
I call
thing
it,
we're talking about. What's it got a
I
name?
I call it Thy-O, Thy-O, for hypothyroid.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm being a little personal here because I have my attorney's secretary just had her thyroid removed. They're a bunch of smokers. I warned them. I've helped them holistically, but you can't stop smokers. I've got a patient for you, and I'm going to. And this is a very special person, and this is so right on for what I'm dealing with right now with one of my clients. So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So
Thyo. Okay, go ahead.
And that was the first one I did, and that was about 6 years ago. And to this day, her thyroid is still working perfectly well. So shortly after that success, another patient came to see me. I had been seeing her for quite a while. I worked with her homeopathically and every other way that I do. And she was really doing very well in every way except one. We couldn't get a handle on her insomnia.
So that's a big topic.
It's a big topic.
And, yeah, big topic. This is one of my big things. You haven't heard my show before, but I'm always slamming the drug companies for putting people on ketamine or angel dust because the cyclohexane, hexane, and piperidine, which is all the stuff and all these effector drugs, are nothing more than forms of angel dust.
Right.
And so I just it's wonderful to hear somebody going into depression and inhibition of the brain of different hormones that are supposed to be there when they're not. And with you're the first homeopath we've had on to do this. So I'm just like blown away. So it's okay.
Oh,
go ahead. I keep interrupting.
Right.
I apologize.
No, that's an interrupt away because that's how.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To come out. So yeah. She said, "What else can we do?" And so, still excited about how I put together this formula with the biotherapies for the thyroid, I said, "Well, let me put together using the same basic structure of the formula that I had used for the thyroid. I put one together using different ingredients, of course, but the same basic structure." And that didn't take more than a dose before she already noticed an immediate effect. And within days, she was sleeping fine. Her insomnia was cured, and the remedy didn't affect anything else we were working on. Let me back up for a second. As a homeopath,
yeah,
it was important to me that anything else I was using wouldn't disturb the constitutional remedy that I had prescribed that the patient was already on, because that's one of the big fears with homeopathy is that some other remedy that you might take would counteract the action of the constitutional remedy. And the biotherapies
right.
have been known not to do that, and to my experience, I've never seen them do it. So that's why I was restricting these formulas to just using the biotherapies. I mean, aside from the fact that I thought that they would do what I wanted them to do, I knew they wouldn't do what I didn't want them to do, was disturb the action of the constitutional remedy.
Yeah, called no side effects.
Right. Oh, well, that's
yeah.
No side effects.
Yeah,
no.
Well, that's really good.
And they taste really good, too, which is actually quite important when you're dealing with patient compliance. There are some great therapies out there, like those Chinese herbs, and some of them taste so awful, a lot of people just won't continue taking them, and that is an issue. So these taste really good, too. So now I realized I hit on something.
Right.
And I started sharing this information with colleagues, and they would say, oh, great, can you make me up some, I want to try it with this patient and that patient. I said, sure. Then they would come back and say, what do you think about making up one for, for allergies or for this condition or that condition? And one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I had a dozen different formulas in the lineup. It was never my intention to create a line of formulas to market. It just kind of grew organically out of the course of my practice, each one because of the needs of a particular patient. But then when I put the formula together, it seemed to have a much wider application beyond that one particular symptom I was creating the formula for. For instance, I have one that I call FemCycle, which is for female hormonal balance.
Now, tell me something. My girlfriend has tremendous cramps when she has her period, and she's had them.
Exactly.
And she's a vegetarian, never had meat in her life. She's very holistic. She doesn't drink much, but she has these horrible cramps. So I've been looking for something to help her out. You've got something along that. When you get into female hormones, it just came up like a big red flag for me.
I will be happy to send you some.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
But you know what I'm talking? I know. In my earlier days when I was married a couple times, I was with women that didn't have, these hormonal cramps. I don't know. It had to be the way they thought, or their consciousness, or their past lives, or whatever. But this girl that's with me now, I've been with her for 3 years. She's a wonderful girl. We're both Leos. And I'm powerless to deal with her cramps. I mean, she's really powerful and a real dynamo up until the time she has her period, and then she just flatlines for a couple of days every month. She has a cycle of 90 days and three periods in 90 days, but in one of those three is going to be a flatline, and the other two are bearable. I don't know if you've seen that, and she's a lot younger than I am, so You know, but are you seeing that a lot in our society, or what are you seeing out there with cramps?
Well, I'll tell you about that. I mean,
yeah, I'm really interested in that.
Well,
because you're hitting a lot of nerves over here. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. More so actually with, you know, with a lot of the xenoestrogens that are ending up in our food supply and our water supply, we're seeing it play havoc with.
From a vegetarian standpoint, how would you absorb these xenoestrogens?
Even in the water.
Even bottled water, like, you know, we get, you know, Crystal Geyser and all those different, is still there?
Yeah.
It is.
It really
so
is.
So it doesn't get filtered or boiled or reverse osmosis out.
It gets less and less.
But it's still there.
And I think
how does it get there in the first place?
You know, a lot of it gets there from manufacturing, disposal of waste.
Okay, waste products in the air, down in the water. Okay, I got the picture. Okay,
a lot of
toxic
it gets
waste
there from people disposing of their own waste. You know, I mean, you take in drugs. I mean, how many women are taking estrogen, and how, you know, across the globe, and how much of that do they absorb? How much of that do they excrete? And
yeah.
That excretion, whether it's estrogen or countless other drugs that they're finding in the river.
Okay, in the toilet and out in the water supply.
Exactly.
Exactly. Point well put. Yeah. I never even thought of that because I always deal with radiation fallout in the water and the water supply being 15% radioactive. This is the cause of thyroid cancer and blah, blah, blah. Never even thought of what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are a lot of researchers.
Brilliant point.
You know, biologists who are studying, you know, fish and amphibians in different riverbed streams and finding all kinds of accumulation of drugs and hormones in them, altering their reproductive cycles. It's really kind of mind-blowing.
No, it's absolutely blowing my mind. I thought I heard everything. They're, you know, like I say, my shows are all different. Tonight's a mind blower. You're doing great. You're waking me up. Yeah. Let's go on to xenoestrogen now.
Right. Well, okay. So that could be, you know, that could be part of what's affecting your girlfriend's cycle.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that more so towards the end of the reproductive cycle and into perimenopause and menopause. Is what I feel you mentioned about our particular society. I think one of the biggest problems is adrenal fatigue.
Right, I can see that. Overstress,
so
definitely.
Our adrenal glands are our stress handling glands, and in our industrialized, you know, first world societies, there's just so much stress, even micro stresses on a daily basis that the adrenal glands are a secondary source of estrogen when the ovaries stop producing, but for most women, at least in industrialized societies, by the time they get to menopause, their adrenals are so burnt out, there's nothing left, so they don't get that secondary source of estrogen, whereas in third world countries and less industrialized countries, that doesn't happen so much, and in fact, there are, I don't know this firsthand, but I have read that there are certain more primitive societies where they don't even have any words in their language to describe menopausal symptoms.
Wow. You're writing a book on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you better be. This is hot information. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was interesting for me about the FemCycle product is I had originally formulated that for a particular patient who has polycystic ovaries.
Wow. That's pretty serious. Yeah.
And I've seen
a lot of women with that in different forms.
A lot of women with that. She was... You know, her big concern was that she wanted to conceive and have a child, and the polycystic ovaries were preventing that from happening. And cut to the chase, she's now has a little baby girl, which is
healthy
going for me.
Yeah.
But even though I had formulated this formula for her and her particular condition, what has come from it is that it seems to have an effect, a balancing effect, on the entire range of the female reproductive system. So I have young girls who are starting their first periods and having a lot of emotional swings and those kind of problems, to women
right.
in the middle of the reproductive ages who are having either fertility problems or problems like your girlfriend with the bad cramps, irregular periods, all the way through to the menopausal women with problems from hot flashes and night sweats to vaginal dryness, low libido, and it seems to work for all of them.
What's this product called?
This one's called FemCycle.
FemCycle. Okay. I need some of that down here ASAP. Sounds really great. So is that a spray?
They're all drops.
Okay, under the tongue, sublingual?
Not under the tongue. It's not like, you know, 5 or 10 drops under the tongue, hold it kind of thing. This is where you take droppers full, actually a couple of squirts is how I put it, which is about 50 drops, two half dropper fulls, in a little bit of water twice a day.
They do it for how long?
Well, it depends on the specific problem and how long they're doing. The sleep formula, for instance, like I said, it seems to work.
Yeah, I need that, too, because she has sleeping problems when this goes on, too. Yeah, very serious sleeping problems.
Well, we're just going to have to send you the assortment pack.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But what's interesting, I'll tell you, when I had first developed the sleep formula, I was talking to my sister on the phone, and she said, "What? You have a sleep formula? Send me some. I'm having a terrible time sleeping." So I sent her some, and then I called her. She's still back in New York, and I called her about a week later to see how she was doing with that. And she said, "Oh, it's working great. I'm sleeping fine." I said, "Terrific." And I made a note on my calendar when she probably would run out of that bottle. So I'd call her a few days before that to see about sending her some more.
Yeah.
And when I did that, she said, "Oh, no, I have plenty left." I said, "Well, I don't understand. If you took it the way I told you to take it, you should be just about out of that bottle." She goes, "Oh, I only needed it for about 4 or 5 days, and then I've been sleeping fine ever since."
Wow.
So I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "Don't tell anybody." That's a problem.
Yeah, right. What was the name? Is that the same? That's not FemCycle, though, right?
No, that's called Dr. Garber's Natural Solutions for Sleep.
Okay.
In fact, that's the name of the line, is Dr. Garber's Natural Solutions. And then all of them are Dr. Garber's Natural Solutions for whichever of the products. Now, I have to mention that I did talk about the SIO the first time, and of course that's got a different name because that's a product that I personally restrict to distribution through practitioners.
Right.
And the reason I do that is because, even though technically and legally all of these formulas they're made with homeopathic remedies and they're legally available over the counter, you know, today we have this great tool called the Internet, which has its downside, which is a lot of people, you know, start plugging in their symptoms and they self-diagnose themselves. And there are a lot of different problems that can have similar sounding symptoms. And a lot of people decide through their own research on the Internet that they are hypothyroid, and that's why they can't lose weight.
Incorrect.
And it's not necessarily that. And my feeling is that if they have a normal functioning thyroid, but they think they're hypothyroid, and they take my hypothyroid formula, it could kick them into a hyperthyroid state, and I don't want that to happen.
Right.
So that's why that's one that I keep for distribution through practitioners. Let them be responsible.
Let them make the diagnosis.
Exactly. But the rest are all pretty much just as you the name describes. There's one for sleep, and there's one for anxiety, and there's one for depression. And
hey, what do you do with people like that are in depression? They want to go out and drown their kids, and you know they're on Effexor and all these horrible drugs. When you look at somebody do you have people come to you that are on these hard drugs from the drug companies, you know, that are trying
absolutely.
And so what do you look for when they come in? What do you do? How do you, somebody just walked in your office with, you know, is taking effects or with these, you know, side effects like homicidal ideation and those kinds of things. How do what do you do with them? I mean, what do you ask them? How do you start off with them?
Well, you know, when they come to me specifically, I'm going to do a whole workup on them. I'm going to do a physical exam, do the whole history, and do what we call a constitutional evaluation. And, you know, so a patient's with me for a good hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, really finding out who that person is.
Do you do blood workups and stuff like that?
I'm sorry?
Do you do blood workups?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, typically, do you find an average of people, let's say they're on these different drugs, what you know, do you find nutritional deficiencies in their system? What do you find when they come in and you've done your diagnosis? What do you see? Is there some kind of a thing you see in general with most of them, or are they all unique?
No. There's not one thing consistent that I see across the board, like they all have a deficiency of this particular amino acid or something like that.
Exactly.
I find that most of them are kind of unique in their imbalances.
Okay.
And, you know, with homeopathy, you're treating really the person and not the disease. You know,
exactly, I understand.
100 people could come see me with the same description of the same symptoms, yet each one would get a different remedy. Yet they might all get, you know, one or more of the various formulas that I developed, or they might get certain, you know, nutritional supplements. But
do you see a heavy metal poisoning in any of them?
We check, especially with depression, I see that a lot.
A lot of heavy metal poisoning. Do they have seafood diets, or do they have, what kind of diets do you see?
You know, you don't have to have a seafood diet to get a lot of mercury. I mean, just look at most people's mouths, and you'll see plenty of mercury in there.
Yeah.
And that is a big problem. I don't care what the American Dental Association insists on saying.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
They're all paid for, you know, by the, you know, it's a cartel, as we know, to sell drugs.
But, you know, it's really... you know, a lot of it is environmental and situational. When I say environmental, in this case, I'm talking about, you know, the sociological environment and their upbringing. You know, for a lot of people, it's a tough world out there. And
so you do see a big psychological factor, not a biological factor in a lot of people.
I see both, you know, and then, of course, you know, the mind creates physiological changes in the body, and by the time someone comes to see me, oftentimes they've been to several different doctors and been put on all kinds of different pharmaceuticals that are, you know, playing havoc in their body.
Right.
So what we try and do is, you know, you can't just pull most of those people right off their drugs. That'll cause more problems than not. So you try to
exactly
them off
their bodies are habit formed already.
Right. As you're introducing other, you know, things that they need, nutrients or homeopathic remedies. And most everybody who I've ever seen who has come to me on antidepressants are off the antidepressants now and functioning quite well. I really don't think this.
So what did you put them on anyway? How did you help them?
Well, all of them with their specific constitutional homeopathic remedy. That's really the key. So that's different for each one of them. But
right.
A lot of them, I've used my my depression formula to help wean them off the antidepressant that they're on. And
how long does that take? Do you have an average, or does it vary by individuals?
It varies, but usually within a month or 6 weeks, you can get that.
I have another patient that's been on speed half her life. Young, good-looking girl. She's hitting 30. Doing crystal meth half her life because they're down here in Laguna. Very, very mentally together. I want to help her. She doesn't want to go back to crystal meth, but she's been taking Valium and all this stupid crap. She's going vegetarian now. So you think we can help her with your depression formula?
I think it would help a lot. I think she's got a hard road ahead of her, but she can certainly turn it around if she wants.
Yeah, you're spiking different people, you know, because I personally do like cancer and stuff like that, this depression stuff, and things that you're doing, and you know, it's not my field, my part of homeopathy, and it's brilliant, it's just wonderful, and I feel blessed to talk to you because you're doing some cool stuff, and that's when I got you to come on the show, you know, I really wanted to know when I was talking to Tom Brandon up there about you, and he was telling me all the cool things you were doing. It's just like it's an honor to get you on here. That's why we kind of gave you the title of the godfather of homeopathy, you know. So we know you're 300 years old and you're older, you know. But that's okay. We won't tell people that, right? Because you said you'd wear that mantle.
But I look good for my age.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You look wonderful for your age. And I've seen your picture on the web, you know. So go ahead.
Right.
So anyhow, do you, excuse me, do you deal with people that have done this crystal meth. This is a, more of a hard line, or coke smokers and that. This is more of a hard line area to get into. Do you go into that area, and do you therapies in that area?
Sure, I do. But, you know, that's, like I said.
I was just going to say, in Santa Monica, that's like at Hollywood, and that's what goes on up there, I know.
Exactly. Although,
yeah,
I have to say, more patients who I see do drugs that are less less intense, let's say, than crystal meth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know,
like coke, maybe.
Right, well, a lot of coke, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
there's a lot of that around.
I've seen that calm down over the years as well, too. In the, in the 80s and 70s, it was a lot more.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm seeing, you know, like this girl I was telling you about, I won't give her name out, but she comes from a wealthy family, but she runs her own business. She's very, very productive. She runs a beautiful store and everything, but behind the scenes, she's had this problem, and now we're trying to bring her out of it, and I'm not in the rehab business. I've done it. I used to work with heroin addicts years ago when I first got into this stuff, but, you know, what I was doing back in the late 70s for addiction problems and what's going on now, it's like it's a different world. You know what I mean? The addiction problems that I help people with in those days are nothing like what goes on today. So I'm a fish out of the water on this kind of stuff. So it's really great to talk to someone that's really there doing it now, you know.
You also really need, I believe, a multi-pronged approach with people like this. You need to not just work on the detox and strengthening their immune system and strengthening their digestion and getting, because everything's all the physiological functions have been thrown off, but it also is often really important for them to have a support system that they can use, a therapist to talk to. I think that's very important, because most people who end up going as far off with different drugs as some of the people you're describing, you know, have a lot of issues that need to be worked out as well.
I agree. And do you actually talk to them, or do you send them somewhere? How do you handle that?
I
do it yourself.
I do both. Look,
I figured you did.
Yeah, go ahead. As a homeopath, I mean, something that I've heard from patients, you know, over and over again, it's, oh, man, I never even told my shrink that, you know, because, you know, part of how you have to prescribe a remedy appropriately, you really have to get into that person and really understand who they are. But that's not the same as working with them in a psychotherapeutic way. And although the information may be the same, the therapist and the homeopath put that same information into a different box to analyze it and come out, you know, do that differently. So even though I do spend a lot of time talking with my patients, I often refer them to therapists for that kind of
So you have
some
friends that you work with up there, some of your family somewhere there, right?
Yeah.
Now could you put out your phone number, how my listeners, because we're in 104 countries and we got a lot of listeners, and could you put out a phone number so that they could call you and get counseling and that kind of information, and also put out your website, because a lot of people don't go on the computer that much. They listen on it, but they don't really pay attention to what's on the front page. So could you put out your website address and your phone number?
Sure. The phone number is area code 310-458-3773. That's 310-458-3773. And the website is www.drgarbers.com.
Yeah, that's good. And now tell me about your book. Is this your first book, or have you written books before?
No, I have not any previous publications, I mean, other than articles in journals and that sort of thing. And But the book I'm working on is, I'm glad you brought it up. It's not published yet, but we're hoping to have that done soon. It's kind of, you know, there's a big movement around this anti-aging movement, which I
have. Right, I'm into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have an issue with it.
I'm 64 in pretty damn good shape. From, you know, people think I'm 65.
That's great, and that's my thought is that.
And you look like a really cool young guy too, by the way, with your web pictures.
Well, thank
you. Look like a smart little 30-year-old, you know.
I mean. I think it's not really a matter of balance.
And you sound like you're about 18. Your voice on the phone here, by the way.
Sound
like a little punk.
I'm aging well.
Yeah, you certainly are. Your voice is very, you know, if I do a voice stress analysis, I don't see any stress. I just see happiness, you know, wellness.
Well, I am a happy
person. That's just how I am, you know.
And yeah, I can hear that in your voice, too. And that's the point. It's not about not aging. It's about aging well.
Exactly. Enjoying the heck out of life, you know.
Exactly. And I think, you know, so we're talking in the book not just about, you know, what to do as far as, you know, what therapies to do and how to eat and, or I should say, not so much what to eat and what not to eat, but really how to eat in terms of getting enjoyment out of food and that we obtain more nutrition from our food when we're enjoying it and when we're engaged in the eating process. And it's not just eating because we have to, and it's not just sitting by yourself reading the paper and eating whatever happens to go into your mouth.
Exactly.
this is all part of, you know,
I used to do that, by the way, when I was younger. I was one of those, when I worked at NASA, I just ate whatever was in my face, you know. That was a long time ago, but you outgrow that. I did.
Right.
But a lot of people still do that, though, you know?
Well, that is
a lot of fast food
so
junkies
people,
out there,
I mean,
that really mean well.
So, many so
anyhow, go ahead.
That,
tell us more about your book.
They get up in the morning, and breakfast consists of perhaps a cup of coffee and a donut, you know, which they, you know, and even having that in the car on the way, rushing to work because they're late.
Exactly.
You know, they've already been woken up out of a sound sleep by an alarm clock. Then they're driving in heavy traffic. All these stresses, one stress after another. And so in the book, we're also talking about the health aspects of your environment. Of it's almost getting into even urban planning about how if we make our urban environments more user-friendly so that people don't have to commute away from the downtown
their homes,
areas,
yeah.
The home they might really enjoy living in if there was more green space there and if there was more cultural things to take advantage of there. Why are people spending hours a day, you know, on congested freeways? Not too long ago, I had to go somewhere, an appointment early in the morning with my wife, and we were dreading this because we knew we were going to have to get on the freeway and deal with all the commuters. And luckily, we were going away from traffic, or going against traffic. But when we got to where we were going to, and we got off the freeway, we saw all the people trying to get on the freeway and cutting each other off, and you know, and it was just such an ugly scene. And my wife,
carbon monoxide poison to the max.
Right. And my wife looked at me and she said, "Who said this is okay?" And it was just such a wonderful question because it was so exquisite in its naivete, but it's really. But then you said, "Really? Who said this is okay? Why should the buildings along that road be one more ugly than the other when they could have just as easily been built with a little design sense so people have something nice to look at?" I mean, it's really trying to encompass all of these things about how we can become healthy, how we can age and age well by changing our attitudes about everything.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Bravo. You know, that's a great idea. That's a great theme.
In fact,
I bet we'll see you on Oprah pretty soon promoting this book, right?
Well, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah,
let's get it published first, and then we'll get it on Oprah.
When is this book going to be done, anyway?
Well, hopefully by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Hopefully sooner. I mean, I guess it's the beginning of the year, so hopefully it'll be.
How long have you been working on it? How long have you been working on it?
Well, actually putting pen to paper about a year in my mind, probably my whole life.
Yeah. So there's a thing called dragon speaking that you can use.
I have
using that now?
I'm still trying to perfect it so that it's still quicker for me to write something down, but I would like to be able to do that. It kind of saves a lot of time.
Yeah, you got to get a good microphone to make it work. That's what I write with. And I find if you use a bunch of swear words and teach it those, the thing works better. I don't know what there is about vernacular, but it seems if you use that, because I used to get so mad at it, and that's how I discovered this. and then I taught it to spell vernacular properly. You know, and all the words that I'd come up with. And the thing is brilliant now. I can just blast away. But I wrote, you know, several books, you know, manuscripts mile high, and the new authors, I always tell them, you know, if your book motivating, this is my standard classical statement, if when you get up in the morning you start thinking about the book, and during the day when you're doing your daily chores and taking care of your responsibility, you're still thinking about the book, that means that there's a higher force, a higher entity, really wants the book out. Now, have you gotten to that stage yet?
I have.
And you better change. If it was me, because I'm working on the book right now, you better right away. At least I am. Refocus your life a little bit and get that book out sooner. The world needs it now. We're running out of time here. You know, you've got a great message. All the things we've covered tonight. You're hitting nerve after nerve after nerve with your therapies, with the things we've covered already.
Well, that's how I felt about my formulas. I mean, when I really believe that kind of the inspiration and the idea for how to structure these formulas really came from.
Yeah, now, seeing as you brought that up, you mentioned a three-pronged thing, and some of our new listeners are probably just tuned in. Could you go over the three different constituents of one of your formulas once again, like you did in the beginning of the show, because
sure.
I think it's very important.
Okay, great. I'd like to do that again.
So
all of the formulas are made exclusively from that class of homeopathic remedies called the biotherapies, and there are three biotherapies. The first one is gemotherapy. Gemotherapy are homeopathic remedies made from the young growth parts of plants, the new buds and roots and shootlets. And shoots, where all the potential is, where all the energy is, where all the new
growth the genesis of life.
From.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the second biotherapy is called lithotherapy, and lithotherapy are homeopathic preparations of mineral-containing rock, and as opposed to homeopathic preparations of just of specific minerals, they contain they involve the synergy of all the minerals that are naturally occurring in any particular rock, and
just so my listeners understand, that's the DNA of the rock, and I always tell people, as we know in homeopathic medicine, that the body is 5% mineral and it controls 95% of the metabolic function. So that's a very important product right there.
And what the lithotherapy does, which I didn't speak about before, which is very interesting, it has almost like a dechelating effect. You know, chelation grabs hold. We use chelation therapy for getting rid of heavy metals and such. But the lithotherapy at the cellular level does an exchange. It pulls toxins out of the cell and releases its mineral into the cell.
That's brilliant.
Enzymatic function, because that's what minerals are really involved with, are enzymatic functions. And then the last biotherapy is the organotherapy, which are homeopathic preparations of healthy tissue, and we use them in a particular potency to either stimulate the target organ or gland or inhibit it or just kind of balance it. And when you put these three together,
the bottom one's almost like approaching stem cell research.
It's interesting you say that, because gemotherapy, which is the bud therapy, has been
that is the one
has
that's
been called
stem.
Plant stem cell therapy by some
people. Okay.
And I believe that is probably
that's where our bodies came from anyway.
Exactly.
So getting that back down to the organic, I want more about that third. Talk more about that, if you don't mind. Third form of
the organo therapy, which are also called sarcodes, homeopathic sarcodes, which are just another name for homeopathic remedies made from healthy tissue, as opposed to other homeopathic remedies that are made from diseased tissues, which have very good, very powerful as well. But what this does is it actually directs, by combining it with the other ingredients, it directs the formula to the target area that it's going to. So in my constipation formula, it directs it right to the colon, you know, and then the other ingredients can have their function there. With the formula for bone strength, it goes right to the, you would think it goes to the bone, but it actually goes to the parathyroid glands, which are the glands that secrete the hormones involved in bringing calcium in and out of the bone and into the tissue. It's a two-way street there.
Do you have any vitamin D injected into your calcium formulas? Because people are so low on vitamin D and then they can't assimilate calcium without it.
I'm so big on vitamin D and testing for vitamin D. It's one of my things. The bone.
You're big on that.
Yeah, very big on
that. Yeah, me too. I kind of thought you might be. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So the bone strength formula that I have actually is something that you would take in addition to. I have so many patients who will say, "Well, I've been taking 1,500 units milligrams of vitamin C a day. I mean, of calcium a day, and 400 units of vitamin D, and I've been doing this for years." And then we do another bone density study, and they're still osteoporotic. And then we put them on this bone strength formula, and then
I've got a couple of beautiful girls in their 50s that are models. And they're already suffering from osteoporosis, and it's sad to see this. They're beautiful women. They're just gorgeous. They're in magazines. So what do you recommend? What is that formula called?
Well, that one's
the
called
one for
Natural Solutions for Bone Strength.
Okay, and Natural Solutions?
For Bone Strength.
Okay.
Like I said, the whole line is called Dr. Garber's Natural Solutions, and then the particular issue, so Natural Solutions for
Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know, is everybody there? We can barely hear the guest. He's speaking.
We'll turn him up because I hear him really good.
Dr. Bell, we can barely make him out.
Oh, really? Okay. How's that sound? A little better?
A little better. Thank you.
Yeah, because he's been loud to me, Don. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Gerber.
Okay. So the thing with the calcium and the vitamin D is very, very important, but a lot of people are taking way too much calcium. If they don't have the proper ratio of calcium and phosphorus in the system, in this case phosphorus, then the calcium is not going to be utilized by the body, and it's going to precipitate out. And when it precipitates out, you start running into problems like kidney stones and cataracts and things like that. So it's real important that they have the right amount of calcium to phosphorus and enough vitamin D. And there's a blood test that I do with patients, which is a metabolite of vitamin D called 25-hydroxy vitamin D. And most people, it's just way, way, way too low. And the problem with the test was that it was outrageously expensive. I finally found a lab that can do it for me for a reasonable price so I can run it on almost everybody.
Right.
And this is, I think, well, most people, if they do this test, it's a real eye-opener to see that even though they think they've been taking enough, it's not anywhere near enough.
No, I totally agree with you. If you don't have the ratios right and the right products, like bone meal calcium, anybody takes that, to me, is a jerk. You got to have the right sources. Chelated stuff is important. I'm sure you dwell on all that. But people out there just don't understand, and I'm seeing this, because of our lifestyles, we're moving into, we're living a lot longer now, but unfortunately, our bad food habits still show up. And in women, it's sad because of this calcium degeneration bone structure failure that I'm seeing on beautiful girls. They just fall apart,
Right.
Sad.
Yeah. It is.
I'm going to switch the subject now. This is way off from where we've been. Have you ever worked much with autistic children at all?
Autistic, absolutely.
Yeah, now I'd like to hear what you do with them, because that's another area that I'm working in, and I'm just completely off the chart from what we've been talking about. What's going on there? What do you do? How can you help them?
Okay. Well,
autism is a very serious thing in our society.
It is. And I also question a little bit, because why is the prevalence of autism going up so high? Is that where...
Exactly.
Are we diagnosing more people who just have... Are we just naming more people with autism, or is the actual rate of autism actually increasing?
And exactly.
I think it's a little bit of both, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of kids who get labeled autistic who really aren't, but it's convenient to slap a label on them. But I think a lot of it has to do with two things, with nutrition and specifically lack of nutrients in the body, starting with the mothers when they're pregnant, specifically the omega-3 fatty acids, which are woefully deficient in our diet. And the other is, which I know is a big issue and very controversial, is the vaccine issue.
That's a big one with me,
I don't think it's just the mercury that's in the thimerosal, mercury-containing thimerosal that's in a lot of vaccines, but I think we just assault our children's immune system, that immature immune system prior to 2 years old, with so many vaccines that I think it just whacks out their neurology.
I believe that so much because I know, I did a big thing on Tamiflu, which is once again, cyclohexane, which is a big poison. I've done so much on this. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
So when I have, the parents.
So what do you do when you have an autistic child to help them out, to calm them down so they don't destroy the house or whatever when they have a tantrum?
Well, one of the first things I do is we go back through every vaccine that they had.
Yeah.
And I give them homeopathic versions of each of those vaccines in sequence.
Wow.
I've seen that oftentimes, have a dramatic effect just by itself. And I look through, I go back through the history with the parents and see if there was any one particular time after a particular vaccine that the behavior especially changed, and we target that vaccine first. But I ultimately like to clear all of them. And then we also test for heavy metal toxicity, which again is a big part of it, get the mercury out of the system, because mercury is a well-known neurotoxin.
Right.
And then, of course, again, the constitutional homeopathic remedy, which I think is the utmost importance. But first you have to get rid of those other things, because what we call them in homeopathy, those are obstacles to cure. We have to get rid of all those obstacles so that the homeopathic remedy can go in and do its job properly.
Right.
So that's what I do.
That's a big thing, because people are heavy meat eaters, heavy alcoholics, heavy put crap in their systems. And from my standpoint, to make a homeopathic remedy work, you got to work through a lot of stuff, a lot of blocks that people put in there with these horrible things they put in their system, and of course the hormones and all the meat and all of that. So you found a way to break down all those barriers and sneak it through.
Right.
Which I don't think the earlier homeopaths could do in the older times, 50, 60, 100 years ago.
True. Although I don't think they had quite as many obstacles as we have today.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. There wasn't Quaker Oats over there shooting chickens up with steroids to make them grow. You'll go to harvest at McDonald's in 6 weeks. It's true.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, but
it's
I just
sad.
Had to throw that in there.
It's really something. So that's how I work with those kids, and we get some pretty fantastic results.
No, it sounds good. And then put your phone number out there again, too, because I've got listeners that have, children that probably use your assistance. Go ahead again.
Okay, it's area code 310-458-3773. 310-458-3773.
And in the final moments here, let's cover the last topic. I usually do a section called Hot Rod to Hell, but I'm not going to do it tonight because this is more important. Where I nix people that screw people over, in industry like UPS. I've been slamming them lately because they've been breaking everything and stealing everything. But what about the flu season? What do you do to help people? Because flu shots, to me, is a flu shot from hell. So what do you do for people in a flu season to help them overcome these viruses that go around here? They're very rampant.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because,
that's a very important one. I saved that one for the end of the show.
The first thing I think I do to help my patients the most is to tell them not to get a flu shot.
Exactly. That's what I tell mine, too. But go, now what are you doing after that?
Okay. Now, there's a wonderful homeopathic remedy, not the one you're thinking of, but one called Influenzinum.
Influenzine. Okay.
Influenzinum.
Okay.
Zinum. In the 9C potency.
You don't make this.
I don't make it. It's available.
Okay.
It's available at stores that sell homeopathic remedies, and it's available online pretty easily. And this actually acts as a homeopathic flu vaccine that has no downside, no side effects, and I think works really wonderfully for preventing the flu.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of very basic things that people have to remember during the season when they're more susceptible to picking up viruses, is make sure that when they exercise, they cool down properly, make sure they get enough rest. pumping up their amounts of vitamin C and zinc, and their general nutrition should be up during the season.
You know, I always tell them take a lot of chromium too. You know, get chromium to colonate the system.
Right.
That's to me is a real disease fighter. That work with you?
That does too. There's also this is not one of my formulas, but they're one of the gemotherapies, plant bud therapies that's made from hedge maple called Acer campestris is a terrific antiviral and it strengthens metabolic.
What's it called again?
General. It's called hedge maple.
Hedge maple.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your listeners could find that pretty easily online as well if it's not available at their local health food store. You know, that pretty much does it. I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, no, we're at the end.
I don't think I've had a flu since I was a kid.
Well, you've done better than me. I went a year and a half, and I got one that lasted 3 days. But I've been going like 1, 2, 3 years without them. But you know, I'm down here in Laguna Beach where we have to suffer with the ocean. Now it's just my own personal discipline. I run myself down by not getting enough sleep.
Well, you know, that is a big thing. I think
I sleep, I get nothing. As soon as I run myself down, something comes along. It doesn't last my system more than 3 or 4 days, but I do get it occasionally, you know.
Yeah. I did a radio show the other few weeks ago, and we talked specifically just about sleep. And the effects of not getting enough sleep are quite similar to advanced aging illnesses. I mean,
you're right. You're totally right.
It just ages you.
Okay, I gotta cut you off. Put your phone number out. We're out of time. Come back on the show again.
I would love to.
Okay, great. We're gonna promote your book when it comes out. So give your phone number, and then we gotta just sign off because we're gonna running into the next show's time now.
All right. It's 310-458-3773. The website is drgarbers.com.
All right.
Thanks for having me on the show, Fred. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it was really wonderful talking to you. You're so brilliant. I love the way you formulate. Thank you out there, all my listeners. Thank Dr. Stuart Garber for coming on the show. This has been Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, and we will see you next week with another great show, and Dr. Garber will be back on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and good night all.
I love you.